So where do we start? I know where we start, because the fact of the matter is that at least to us Yanks, this is brandy new.
We formed Grand Atlantic about the end of 2005, and Sean and I had been in a previous band. So, you know, we decided we wanted to do a new project. So it all started with four people in a coffee shop in Paddington in Brisbane, Australia. So we decided that we're on the name and everything. Mm-hmm. And then from there, Sean?
Well, from there, we had a couple of members change. We've ended up with Maddie and Morgan with us. And
well, I was good friends with the previous lead guitarist, and his life circumstances changed, unfortunately. And I was playing keyboards with the band before he left, but then he left the band and he asked me if I'd like to try out for the lead guitar, and I said, hell yes, I would very much like to, and that's how I ended up in the picture.
Well, the guys had a drummer before me, and basically for whatever reason he left. I knew the guys because a band that I played in had supported them once. So yeah, I called up Phil and asked for an audition and went and jammed it out in a room, and here I am.
What song did you play? Did you play one of their songs or like Disco Inferno?
No, we didn't play Disco Inferno.
It's Raining Men.
Yes, that's exactly what we played. No,
that's the song. Yes.
I got given like a CD of the new stuff, which hadn't been released yet, and attempted at learning it and then promptly forgot it the second I got into the studio, I guess because of nerves or whatever. But yeah, it was new stuff, like the stuff that's on How We Survive on that record. And I had one of the old records, so...
Now, this is not the first release. This is the first release we're getting here.
Yeah.
Correct?
That's right.
So there were one release before this?
We had an EP and then an album before this album. They're kind of not, I guess, released and promoted terribly much over here, but they've been available on mail order and iTunes. It's been bought over here.
It's a little bit easier this time around because we're actually coming to the States. I mean, we had planned to come earlier, but it's a big deal getting over that big Pacific Ocean.
We've actually been surprised, well, not surprised, but encouraged by the reaction we've gotten to this album and the fact that we're coming over. It's been great, and just you can't beat that connecting with people.
And the internet's amazing, but the fact is that it means there's so much music out there for people to kind of trawl through. You know, anyone can make a record and put it up on the internet. So people have got to find music where they find it. I guess it's the hard part, is to break through of all that wealth of information.
Someone in this band, or maybe all of you, are really good songwriters. You actually understand the concept of writing songs.
Yeah, Dennis, I write the songs for Grand Atlantic.
That the whole world sings.
No, I did walk into that one.
Sing it, everybody!
I do have a Barry Manilow story to tell you, but maybe we should talk about that later. I think that's really kind words that you've said about our songwriting. I guess I don't write a lot of songs. I tend to just write when the right inspiration comes. It's the ideas that I can't sort of put down, or that I become obsessed with, that actually end up making it into songs. And these guys are very gracious, and I guess I sort of do a demo of the song, and then we come together and we sort of take it apart and rework it and do it together. So we're trying some different things, but in the past, because of time constraints, I've kind of written the song and then put it into the band. So we're probably going to try some different things with the next record, so a bit more jamming, stuff like that.
Did everybody in this band have formal formal training, or did you just kind of learn to bang the drums on pots when you were a kid and got really good?
Yeah, I had like a few lessons, and I sucked for a long time. And I think it was just breaking through that barrier of just like playing drums in my room for ages and ages and ages on a really heap of crap drum kit kind of thing. But that was kind of it then. Once I broke through that barrier of sucking.
I actually have some formal training not in songwriting or playing the guitar. I sort of taught myself all those things, but I went and studied classical percussion at the conservatorium in Brisbane, and I think probably some of my influence comes from those days.
I learnt piano from when I was seven, had piano lessons, and that's where my music started, I guess. But then when I was a teenager, I picked up the guitar, taught myself how to play, had about 6 months of lessons, and then it became my favourite instrument to play. Like, I still play piano and I love it, and I especially like vintage electric pianos and organs and things like that, but yeah, guitar's where it's at for me.
And for me, this I picked up a guitar because my father always had a guitar lying around. He was not terribly studious at the guitar, so I didn't bother either. But I just played a few chords, played his favourite records. And then my brother was learning guitar and playing guitar, so, and he's an older brother, and being the younger brother, I thought, I can't do that, so I got a bass instead. And just always been playing the favourite records and playing with friends. Not terribly formal, but hey, I play in a rock pop band, I don't have to do too much.
School,
you know,
of rock.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's anybody in this band with the last name Gallagher.
No.
Is there anybody in this band with the last name Gallagher?
Sir, definitely not.
Do you care that almost every stinking review, every blog, everything they do, they find a need to compare rather than saying, here's a new band from Brisbane. Mm. They're made up of this. Yep. Their lyrics are about this. This is what it is. So did that kind of start from the beginning? I mean, did that happen over there? Or is this a kind of a uniquely bloggy, Western, dumb, stupid thing he said with an opinion?
No, I guess we get actually in Australia is kind of the throw the dandy around more than...
Yeah, actually, the dandy walls.
It's kind of hard to get away from that, I guess, when for a journalist, they're just picking a reference that I think people would know. That sometimes we think it's way off the mark. And because obviously when you've experienced it yourself and you've been a part of the originating the songs and everything, there's so much more depth and breadth in there rather than one other band that's on the other side of the planet. Mm. But, you know, I guess it's an easy reference for a journalist.
Our manager hates it.
Do you hate it? He hates it.
Yeah, but, you know, I guess in a way I sort of think when someone says to you, you get that at shows all the time, people come up and say, you remind me of this band or that band, and sometimes you think,
but that's a little
how did
different.
You hear this, yeah, you know? And you think, well, I sort of think, well, if people are reviewing it and they're comparing you to bands, it's probably because they like those bands.
This album really has kind of a Westerner focus to a certain extent, or at least how we survive and what it means. And I noticed there are three dots after that. So what's the rest of the sentence there?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I just kind of like that as a visual thing, the three dots. I know
it's a bit ambiguous.
It's leaving it open, you know. Like, I guess it's a question at the same time as a statement, you know. How do people get through their week? You know, everyone's got a way of coping with their lives, and it's different for us in the Western world than it is for other people. And I think there is an element of me sort of thinking the things that I complain about in my life are really... It's pathetic that I complain about when you think about how the rest of the world lives. You
right,
know?
Right. And yet, everybody, with all this technology and with everything we've got in our lives, I'm not sure that life has gotten easier. I think it's gotten more complicated.
Sure. And it's relative to where you live. You know, what is a hard week for me would be for someone in another part of the world walking on a cloud, you know. So I guess it's that thing of reminding yourself. And, you know, although acknowledging that sometimes you have a bad week and you've got, how do we get through the week sometimes, you know? Everyone has a way of coping with life in the 21st century.
You pretty much produced this record yourself, correct?
That's right, yeah. Our original drummer, Scott, he had his own studio and it was a very good studio. So we started recording it with him. And through the process, we always talked about getting someone else to mix the album when we were finished recording. So... we recorded it and produced it ourselves, and then we enlisted Magoo, who's a well-known Australian producer, to mix it.
Tell me about Magoo. I want to hear more about it, just because I like saying it.
Yeah, it's a cool name.
Yeah, the first thing I was going to say is a sweetheart. He's a great guy too. But he's worked with bands like Regurgitator. He did a Me Not All album towards the end of their days.
He hasn't really done a lot of other international stuff that you guys would have heard of, but in Australia he's well known, he's well respected, and he's got a name in Australia, so we wanted to work with him.
Well, and he's got for the mix for us, he's kind of someone who likes to mess with it rather than just mix it how it is, which we wanted to do. We're very conscious of having, we want to produce the album we want to produce, but we want someone else's input as well, just to broaden it, you know, make it, see what happens. And he was good at as a mixer does, of course, it's obvious, but throwing some things in there we didn't really expect and taking some things out.
But he did actually really, we did want a rawer edge to it, so he did bring that, and it's warmer because he does a lot of things on analog equipment, you know, so that's what we wanted.
I think he's also, he's got a great ear for the hooks in there. And, you know, we at times perhaps throw a bit too much in there. But that's why you need someone else in there.
Too many hooks?
Yeah, sometimes.
You can never have too many hooks.
Or maybe the hook's used too often in the song. Sure. So it's just good to pull out some parts and say, let's save that for later or let's bring it. Yeah, it was good to have a different opinion there.
Yeah.
Australia is, you know, in the cities, it's a very, very sophisticated place. But when you get outside the cities, it's very, very, it's ready for rock and roll.
Sure.
So how do weird things that are so huge here that dominate the charts, do they survive there at all?
Yeah, I think it's changed. I think that in the country, people listen to a lot of country music still, and that was
right.
That would have dominated back in the day. Yeah, I think the country people still probably go in for that, but I think the big artists that come, it's unilateral, isn't it, really, in our world. People like Beyonce or whoever everywhere, you know, because it's on the charts, so that's all they hear about. But I sort of think, you know, the bigger acts that come to Australia probably only do the major cities, so their tours are not very long, you know.
It has opened up in some ways with Triple J, as national radio network,
that's
regional. They put on regional shows and that kind of thing. So in that part, which is, you know, not all exclusive, of course, but just the Triple J kind of part, and the bands that do really well on that part get regional. And so there's a big tradition of the Aussie pub rock kind of thing, that the bands that tour nonstop and play rock and roll shows everywhere. That the touring scene just isn't there anymore.
No.
You can't play as many shows. People don't go to shows as much. So
covers are big.
That's
too.
Kind of gone. The cover scene
bands,
is,
tribute bands are huge in Australia.
So now is this? I know that I've got my promo. Is this now officially have a distributor in the United States?
Yes.
So it's actually going to make its way to Shoppies all over.
Yes.
What little record, all six record shops that are left in the world.
Yeah.
So we do this thing called a musical sandwich. Mm-hmm. It's two of your songs as the bread and songs by anybody else you want to play in between.